Longstreet slowed, not wanting to speak to Stewart. The crowd was beginning to press in around his horse, shouting congratulations. Longstreet looked from face to breathless face, amazed. Congratulations? For what? The crowd had moved in between him and Stewart. He pressed stubbornly forward toward Lee's cottage. It was impossible to answer questions, too much noise. He wished he had not come. Ride back later when it's quiet. But too late to go now. One of Lee's people, Venable, had taken the reins of his horse. Someone was yelling in an eerie wail, "Way for General Longstreet! Way for the general!" And there across the crowd he saw an open space by the door of the little house, and there in the light was Lee. Quiet spread out from Lee. The old man stepped out into the light, came forward. Stewart swung to look. Longstreet saw men beginning to take off their hats in the old man's presence. Lee came up to Longstreet's horse, put out his hand, said something very soft. Longstreet took the hand. There was no strength in it. Lee was saying that he was glad to see him well, and there was that extraordinary flame in the dark eyes, concern of a loving father that flicked all Longstreet's defenses aside and penetrated to the lonely man within, like a bright hot spear. And Longstreet nodded, grumbled, and got down from the horse. Lee said accusingly that he had heard that Longstreet had been in the front line again, and that he had promised not to do that. And Longstreet, flustered by too many people staring at him, too many strangers, said, "Well, he'd just come by for orders." Lee said watchfully, smiling, "General Stewart is back." The crowd opened for Jeb. He came forward with extended hand. Longstreet took it, mumbled, could not meet the younger eyes. Jeb was grinning a brilliant grin. Hands were patting him on the back. Longstreet felt mulish. "Damn fool." But he said nothing. Lee said that General Stewart ought to know how worried they had all been about him, and Stewart grinned like a proud child. But there was something wary in his eyes, looking at Lee, some small bit of question, and Longstreet wondered what the old man had said. Stewart said something about having seen a lot of Yankee countryside lately, and it was getting kind of dull. And slowly the noise began to grow up around them again. They moved toward the house, Lee taking Longstreet by the arm. They moved in a lane through hundreds of people, like Moses at the parting of the sea. Somebody began a cheer, a formal cheer, a university cheer. A band struck up, "Oh Lord, Bonnie Blue Flag" again. Hands were touching Longstreet. He went up into the small house and into a small room, the roof closing in over him like the lid on a jar. But even here it was jammed with people, a tiny room no bigger than your kitchen, and all Lee's officers and aides working, rushing in and out. And even here some people from Richmond. A place cleared for Lee, and he sat down in a rocking chair. And Longstreet saw him in the light and saw that he was tired. Lee rested a moment, closing his eyes. There was no place for Longstreet to sit except on the edge of the table, and so he sat there. Taylor pushed by, begging Longstreet's pardon, needing a signature on a letter to someone. Lee raised a hand. "We'll rest for a moment." Longstreet saw the old man sag, breathe deeply, his mouth open. Lines of pain around the eyes. He put the gray head down for a moment, then looked up quickly at Longstreet, shook his head slightly. "A bit tired." He never said anything like that. Lee never complained. Longstreet said, "Can I get you something?" Lee shook his head. Aides were talking loudly about artillery, a message to Richmond. Longstreet thought, "No rest here." Lee said, reading his mind, "I'll clear them out in a minute or two." He took another deep breath, almost a gasp, put a hand to his chest, shook his head with regret. His face was gray and still. He looked up with a vagueness in his eyes.